Right, this morning I just want to start by reading an account out of the Bible of when Jesus was walking around Israel and preaching the gospel and healing the sick. And it's from Mark chapter 2, verses 1 to 12. A few days later, when Jesus again entered Capernaum, the people heard that he had come. So many gathered that there was no room left, not even outside the door, and he preached the word to them. Some men came, bringing to him a paralytic, carried by four of them. Since they couldn't get to Jesus because of the crowd, they made an opening in the roof above Jesus, and after digging through it, lowered the mat and the paralyzed man was lying on. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, Son, your sin is forgiven. Now teachers of the law were sitting there thinking to themselves, why does this fellow talk like that? He's blaspheming. Who can give him sins but God him alone? Immediately Jesus knew in his spirit that this is what they were thinking in their hearts, and he said to them, why are you thinking these things? Which is easier, to say to the paralytic, your sins are forgiven, or to say to him, get up, take your mat and walk? But that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins, he said to the paralytic, I tell you, get up, take your mat, and go home. Then he got up, took his mat, and walked out in full view of them. And this amazed everyone, and they praised God, saying, we've never seen anything like this before. So here we find Jesus. He's been travelling around Galilee, preaching and teaching and healing. He's already driven out an evil spirit from a man in the synagogue at Capernaum. He's healed Peter's mother-in-law of a fever. He made a man with leprosy whole again. And when Jesus met these needs, he was doing more than healing physical hurts. He was restoring wholeness to the lives of the people and giving back to them the opportunity to live a normal life. And word spread all around about his great power to perform miracles and his preaching. So when he returned to Capernaum, everyone knew it. They rushed to the home he was staying in to hear and see this man. The people crowded to him, they filled a small house, they gathered round the doors and the windows until there was no more room at all. The news of Jesus' presence had also come to a small group of people who couldn't get there as quickly as the others. And they were concerned about a friend, a man paralyzed for a long time. We don't really know if he'd been like that since birth, but his condition must have been terrible. He couldn't walk, he couldn't take care of himself, he was completely dependent on other people in a time when people cared very little for the sick. He was reduced to begging and living on any charity that he could get. This man was a little bit different from most people like him, because he had a group of friends, and those friends really cared for him. And no doubt they tried everything they could to find a cure for him, but all to no avail. Probably some of them who passed by each day saw the man lying on the side of the road, on the front of his house, and had pity on him and his family. But for all their pity, they would still pass by, and no doubt whisper to one another about the great sin he or his parents must have committed to be punished like this. Because in those days, sickness, disease and misfortune came as a punishment for sin. But in this story of the paralyzed man, there's no suggestion that his suffering came about as a punishment for sin. And I can imagine his family had done everything they could. They'd taken advantage of whatever medical expertise was available, but still to no avail. No doubt they'd gone to the temple and offered sacrifices, looking for forgiveness. They prayed every day asking for deliverance, but still no healing. But hope was not gone. The family and friends had heard of the great miracles of healing that Jesus had performed. They all knew Peter's mother-in-law, and they knew how Jesus had healed her when she was sick with fever. They'd heard about the other things that Jesus had done. So was it possible, you think, that maybe he could do something for this loved one of theirs? The four of the friends bent down, took up the four corners of this man's mattress, and carried him to Jesus. But when they got there, they couldn't get in. They tried to push their way through, but the crowds were not having it. They pleaded with the people, and they wouldn't hear. Who was going to take any notice of this beggar, this useless, paralyzed man? So in desperation, they tried everything to get to Jesus, and nothing worked. Then they noticed the steps on the outside wall, and they knew that that led to a flat roof made of branches laid across rafters and plastered with mud. They knew it would be short work to dig through the mud and branches, so they climbed the stairs, and when they got to the roof, they could hear Jesus preaching below. They found the spot where Jesus was sitting and began to dig. And Jesus was there, talking to the people, when suddenly bits of plaster started to fall on his head and around him. And looking up, people could see, oh, they're in the roof. They all moved back a bit. All attention was focused on the roof. And the men lowered the paralytic to the floor in front of Jesus. Now Jesus had witnessed their determination to get the man to him. He knew they believed in his ability to cure him. He could see the faith of the paralytic. And because of their faith, Jesus said, "Son, your sins are forgiven." Well, that was the last thing that the people expected to hear. Even though they believed that the only way for one to be healed was to be forgiven, only God could forgive sins. But to them, forgiveness wouldn't come just by a simple act of faith. One had to be sorry for sin and perform a sacrifice and confess the sin publicly and repent. And none of that had happened here. Yet this man Jesus took for himself the right to speak for God. In the mind of the scribes and Pharisees who were looking on, it was no less than blasphemy, an affront to the majesty of God. But note that the scribes remained silent. They were in shock, perhaps a little bit fearful. But Jesus knew what they were thinking, so he asked them a simple little question. Which is easier, to say your sins are forgiven, or to say get up and walk? Now the scribes thought that was obvious. The easiest thing to do would be to forgive the man's sins. I mean, after all, anybody could say it, and there's no way to prove it. To heal the man and to tell him to get up and walk was to put your reputation on the line. I mean, what if he didn't get up? I mean, healing is concrete evidence. So Jesus said, "I'll do that that's the most difficult." And looked directly at the scribes and said, "In order you may know the Son of Man has the authority to forgive sin," he turned to the paralyzed man and said, "Get up, take your mat, and go home." And the man did. Now can you imagine the joy of this man as he slowly got up? As he felt the strength returning to those useless legs. Tentatively put his weight on one leg. And then the other, in the full view of everyone, he began to realise what had happened, and he took those first hesitant steps, and his confidence grew, and he started leaping, and dancing, and laughing, and crying at the wonderful things that had happened to him, and he ran home to tell his family of the wonderful miracles that God had done for him. And can you imagine how his poor friends felt? That which they'd hoped for was suddenly done in front of them. Can you imagine the reaction of the scribes and the teachers of the law? The question of forgiveness was proven beyond doubt by the healing of the man. Jesus showed the people that he had the authority to pardon sin and to pardon this man from sin. And he still has that authority today. Although this man was not suffering as a consequence of his own sin, Jesus shows us there that we can only be genuinely whole when we have experienced God's forgiveness. And that's the wonderful good news, that Jesus is still in the business of forgiving sins and healing people. Even today, even here, in this very meeting, this morning. And in this account this morning, we've got a couple of important lessons. First, man didn't need or deserve condemnation and ridicule because of his condition. What he did need was some friends. Friends who grasped hold of the mat and take him to Jesus. Friends who knew him and cared enough about him to risk all and take him to Jesus. And that's what every one of us needs. In this world, it's so easy to judge and condemn and blame people for their condition. We see people who are ill, physically or mentally, and we jump to conclusions. We know they've always been heavy drinkers, so there's no wonder they're chronically sick. We know they're heavy smokers, so there's no wonder they suffer chronic breathing problems. And you know how it is. We see their lifestyle, we know the choices they've made in their lives, and we're not at all surprised that they're suffering now. So really, we're no different from the scribes and the teachers of the law. But what they need is not our righteous indignation and blame for their condition. What they need are good friends who will love and care for them no matter what their condition, no matter what they used to be, no matter what they've done. Friends who'll do anything to help them. Because Jesus doesn't see them like the world sees them. Jesus sees each and every one of us, whether we're healthy or sick, as those who need his love and mercy and forgiveness. And he doesn't judge us by what we've done or we've not done. He accepts everyone just as they are, warts and all. I see two types of people in this incident. I see first the paralytic man. A man who was completely helpless, needed to be attended to at all times, had to have everything done for him, and he'd done everything to find a cure for his sickness. And nothing had worked. And finally he realized the one thing he really needed was what Jesus had to offer. And he placed his faith in Jesus, braved the humiliation of the crowd, gave up any pride that was left, and allowed his friends to carry him to the Saviour. And that's the only way to find Jesus today. In all our problems, we must give up our pride and surrender in faith to Jesus. But secondly, there are the faithful friends. They saw the need of the man and they met that need. They loved him and wouldn't turn their backs on him. And even when they couldn't get through the wall of people, they found another way to take care of him. They were not set on one way of doing things. They were flexible enough and ingenious enough to find a way that worked. The sad thing about these pictures is that each of us can relate to these types right now. We all know that, especially in this area, we're surrounded by those who are lost and need Jesus. Every time we go out, we see the streets populated by lost and troubled young people. We see the pubs full of those seeking something in alcohol. We see the young mums lonely and lost. We see older people who feel there's nothing left to live for. Those people outside, the lost and the troubled, the adults who are searching for something, all need friends. And they need a friend like this lame man has. They need friends who will think about them and call them. They need friends who will go to any lengths to get them to Jesus. Jesus is still in the business of saving people and bringing them nearer to God. He's still in the business of forgiving sins and healing people. And he's here this morning and calling to each one of us. And the call of Jesus is upon every one of us here this morning. Every one of us here who are faithful friends who will bring you to Jesus and will take you and leave you there and leave the rest to him. Because when you go to Jesus, he knows what you want and he can do it. And not only can he do it, he will do it. So the call is out to each one of us this morning. Why don't you find Jesus here and now?